Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. So if you've been following our shows, you know we are now live on Times on Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's on like Octopus, M like Mary, Times. And you can find us there Thursday evening live at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are wishing you the happily ever after. By this very time, you'll be listening to theater and film reviews from me, which I'm so excited about. But to find our Bridal Talk Radio, you can find us on Times at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, enjoy Gabrielle Hartwell, soulmate, and Twin Flame Mastery, one of my favorite encores from our Hourglass Bride library. Enjoy the show.
And welcome to Hourglass Bride. I am so pleased and so excited for today's show and today's guest. When we created this show, it was really my goal and my intuition and my deepest desire to bring to you the pinnacle and the experts around the world that can really help you cross over those lines and have that happily ever left, and that all your dreams really can come true. So bringing you the tools and the techniques and the ways to do that and to unfold that magic in front of you and before your life so you really can live that life that you know that you deserve. And I can't think of a better guest than today's guest. Today we are talking with Gabrielle Hartwell, and she is an intuitive relationship life coach, and she focuses on assisting others to be who they are to their fullest, to really to recognize anything inside of you that hinders the natural essence of your unique divine love and that unique divine love vibration so you can freely confess and express to the world your light. This naturally attracts the reflection of your divine beloved, and it's all in perfect timing. So I know when we talk about twin flame or the soulmate and the words that we throw around, and is it possible, and is it true, and is there really a perfect partner out there just for me? And I'm so excited to talk to her about all of that today. Gabriella is the author of the book, You Find Your Soulmate When You Let Go of Searching. I love that title. I think I'm going to walk around my house and just say that. You find your soulmate when you let go of searching. You find your soulmate when you let go of searching. And true. And I know for myself, we've followed my own love path, and we certainly will talk about that today. And I think this is such a perfect for all of us, whether you're just stepping into a relationship and about to be married, whether you're looking for the love of your life, or whether you've been in a relationship and wondering, is this the heart connection, soul connection, and the one for your lifetime? Gabriella is currently writing her second book, Twin Flame Revealed, The Path of Union Consciousness, and she offers beloved sessions. Isn't that beautiful? I think that would be such a great wedding gift to give somebody a beloved session. She offers dream guidance readings, intuitive readings, and she also has an online course titled Ignite the Light of the Beloved that really encourages people to be all that you can be to the fullest. And so I am thrilled, I am excited, I am elated to talk to Gabriella because she's so dedicated to helping us break through the illusions of love. So we remember that divine love is in us all, and we're comfortable to that expression of what love is and the ability to create that. So my joy, my pleasure to welcome today Gabriella Hartwell. Gabriella, wow, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nicole, for having me. Just the way you were expressing everything was like, I felt like I was being embraced through your words. So thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, it's such a joy. And truly, when I created this show, this was my desire. You being here today was my desire. This is exactly what I want to be able to offer people because I think it's so important. I think that, you know, we grow up, and as we're babies, as we're infants, the very first thing we do is we reach. You know, they have the immobile above the baby's head, and we reach, and someone looks in, and we reach, and that instinct to reach out to somebody and to make that connection. And so I just think it's so joyous, and it's such a gift what you do. And I think I told you when I first called you up and said, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. I saw this, and I saw you and your work, and I'm so compelled. And I'm just thrilled that you're here today. And I've got so much to talk to you about, but one of the things I wanted to ask you to start off with is one of the things I love to do is to ask people about when they were small, like when they were 5 and 6 and 7, and you know, girls want to be Miss America or a mom or a secretary. Or, did you know, did you have an instinct or a way of connecting people in love?
You know, that's a great question. And I'm glad you asked that, because almost all the time when people talk to me about this, I say, even though they don't ask it like you just did perfectly, is that I've always had this feeling since I was younger of this connection that I have with somebody that I knew that I was loving. And I felt his vibration, I felt my vibration, and I felt our unified fusion of our vibrations together. And so I knew ever since I was younger there would be some day that I would meet this person and that I would know, because I've always been loving him and being connected to him. So to answer your question, ever since I was younger, it's always been in me and with me. And throughout growing up, people would gravitate towards me and they would just naturally share their experiences. And oftentimes it would be about relationships. And so I would be naturally just allowing people to feel comfortable, you know, to share who they are, to share what they're going through, and to offer advice. So it did come naturally to me ever since I can remember.
That's amazing. It really is. And when you talk about being an intuitive life coach and love coach and a relationship coach, it sounds so magical, because it's a knowingness. It's an awareness, it's an aha, and an infinity outside the lines that's able to cross through one person's energy and aura into another and be able to see their energy and light together. And so what does that look like for you? What does that feel like for you?
Well, I love that you say that, to cross lines, because I think that that's what love really does. You know, it's an invisible force that we bring into our tangible world. You know, and however we do that, each of us, I think, is individually in our own unique way, whether we have a partnership with someone or not, because that's a lot of what I share as well, is that this is not so much focused on an outside union, you know, with another, but it's the union within of that's, well, actually my next book, The Path of Union Consciousness, that's really what union consciousness is. It's actually right in the word union, as you and I are one. And you and I on a journey of experiencing our oneness. And so it's kind of like a lighting of that, and recognizing that all relationships are a reflection of who you are, and bringing to you that reflection. And that means not just people, but everything you have a relationship with, you know. And it brings you into the remembering and discovering, as you uncover step by step, who you are. And who you might want to be today is different than maybe who you were, who you want to, or, you know, who you want to be tomorrow and who you were yesterday. So, it does make you go beyond all of the, I think, limitations and attachments and perceptions and boxes we can place love in. So I like how you said that it goes beyond those lines. It really brings you into new territory.
Beautiful. What a magical gift. And so I guess the big question is, do we have a soulmate? Do we have a partner? Is there such a thing as the right person, or that there's someone that's our reflection that's out there in the world looking for us if we're looking for them?
Yes, I absolutely feel that. If you have that feeling and you have that call, like I did, you know, when I was younger, I know I'm going to meet someone someday. I think it's in your soul agreement, your soul intention for this lifetime to encounter that person. Not everybody chooses to have that experience, I feel, you know, in a lifetime. And it doesn't mean that they don't have someone. It just means it's not their soul intention, you know. But if that's a feeling within you of desiring to have that connection, and it's not from the mind, it doesn't come from the mind, but it comes from the heart of a knowing, and just this, it's kind of like it flows through you, then I feel, yes, everybody does have that capability to have that experience in this lifetime if it is their intention. You know, I love the title of your show as well. I found this beautiful quote that I think really represents what you're doing with the show, and I love it. I wanted to share it with you. It's from someone called Jules Renard, and the quote is, "Love is like an hourglass, with the heart filling up as the brain empties. And I love that because this is what love really is, right? I mean, we were talking about going beyond the lines, and it really brings you into taking a look at what do I feel love is and who am I? And not who I think I am, but who do I feel that I am? You know, and letting the brain empty, as the quote says, and the heart fill up of what the divine love truth of who you are is, and bringing that out into the world. I feel our relationships are really all about that. And I love that you chose hourglass, because what I saw in the hourglass is the three aspects of oneness. And this is what I'm going to talk more detail about in my next book, how one person is whole and complete in their own oneness on their own. The other person is the same. And then when they come together, there's an extension of that oneness. So there's three aspects of their oneness. And they meet in the middle. It's just a constant dance of balance, right? Even when people come together, it's this constant dance of balance of all those three aspects of their oneness to be cultivated and maintained. And I love the hourglass because it shows the top, the bottom, and when they fuse together, the middle. So to me, that's what it represents. And I just think it's a beautiful title for a show. And
thank you so much. It's funny because for myself, I was thinking our, like, O-U-R, like together, you know, that it's not just the
sense
of time. It's our, it's the coupling of the energy. And to me, glass is very fragile, but glass is also very strong. And glass heals you. And glass, So the hourglass to me was not just the ticking down to the wedding date or the sands of time through the years, but it had so much more, and so I love the meaning that you've brought to it. So thank you so much. So
yeah, and I love how glass, too, is transparent. You know, so something I wrote that's going to be in the next book, too, is your the sacredness is in the nakedness, you know, and of really allowing yourself to be seen, and glass does that as well.
Really is. And so how does this work as far as finding your twin flame or your soulmate? Do people call you and say, I have this deep yearning and desire to find my one? Or does somebody call you and say, I'm getting married or I'm in a relationship, I don't know if this is my life's journey? Where does somebody begin with you?
Yeah, you know, a lot of my clients have already met someone that has awakened the love of who they are. And the twin flame connection is really the deepest reflection for you of who you are. It's the same soul frequency and vibration of who you are. So it's the strongest, and you are completely and constantly being reflected back to yourself. And it makes you love the light and the dark aspects of who you are, and then reflecting it back to the other. So I encounter a lot of people who have met this person and or are dreaming of this person and feeling this person, like my experience was. And it's an interesting experience because it really takes you away from the normal way we try to place relationships into a box. You know, it is first and foremost about awakening and remembering who you are. And there's an interweaving journey with that of a lot of times you meet and then you physically separate, you come back together, and there's this, like the infinity symbol, in and out experience, because you're constantly balancing and doing this dance of balance of your own oneness and the others doing the same while you're also fusing that together. So oftentimes people call me really to get into the depths of what just happened to me when I encountered this person. And how do I love all the shadow parts of me and the other and not go into blame or, putting this into a box of relationships? So I kind of really break down, as you mentioned at the beginning, the illusions of what love is to get at the heart of what it really is. And each person has a unique experience. We all have some similarities, but everyone is also unique in their dynamics.
I know my dad proposed to my mom on the first date. And my mom just left and said yes. And my mom always tells me she knew, you know, in that moment that, and my dad says the same thing, and they just celebrated last week their 51st wedding anniversary. And they are the two most in love people I've ever seen. they just the way they look at each other. With somebody, you know, my dad walks in the room, my mom walks in the room, the other one lights up like they're puppies. They're like, they're so, and so, but it's been difficult for me to grow up with that, because then I always expect that. That I'm going to see somebody and all of a sudden the stars and the heavens will, all of a sudden I'll hear, you know, the symphony of all the planets and I'll know. And that hasn't happened. So.
That doesn't mean that it won't.
Does that mean I should come work with you? Does that...
You know, I think that, well, as you said, the title of the first book, You Find Your Soulmate When You Let Go of Searching, I think this is really a process, you know. It's a process and everyone has their own journey with it, you know, because there is so much, I think, that we are to release. You know, we can say attachment, but when we're really in the throes of the attachment, I think it includes expectations, you know, and how we feel about things and how we see things. And the journey really asks us to be present, I think, in each moment, you know, and to allow each experience, each new connection, and put an intention, you know, out as to what we desire to experience. And divine timing is a huge part of it, you know.
Well, I would love to know more and love to talk to you about that and to learn. And I think that it's such a beautiful space and place to begin with.
But you have a high order, like you said, with your mom and your dad, you know. I mean, it's like you see that and you're like, that's what I see love to be like, you know. And so you're not just going into, I'm going to settle to be with someone. You know, you're looking to have that deeper connection with someone, and that's really beautiful. You know, because a lot of times I do work with people of bringing them out of the space of being in a relationship to be in a relationship rather than to really be yourself with someone, you know, and be in love rather than just being in a love relationship, you know, being the love that you are, each of you, and being in that love together. So, and that's beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll let them know.
Yeah, tell them happy anniversary.
And I love your website. It's called risinguptheladderoflove.com. And there's just, as the same way you were talking about Hourglass Bride, there's such a beautiful idea and vibration and feeling, even when you say rising up the ladder of love. And so tell me about that, because it's really special.
Yeah, it, you know, it kind of makes me think, too, of the Stairway to Heaven song, right, that's so popular.
Yeah.
I really feel that there's no top. There really isn't a top to get to. It's really limitless, rising up the ladder of love. And I actually like rising in love versus falling in love, you know, because what we do when we come into a relationship, of a divine relationship, we really want to raise each other up, you know, and we really are... We're always rising in love, even when we think, even when a relationship transitions and shifts, you know, we're always constantly learning about love, and that's raising our vibrations. So I like rising up the ladder of love, because every relationship brings us reflection of who we are, and we have opportunities to love ourselves, love all of ourselves, the shadow parts, the light-filled pieces, you know, and I love also the ladder as representative of the spaces in between the rungs. So each experience, you know, that we have, we're also having a process and learning and growing and receiving and giving. And so the spaces in between is like the journey along the way to the next step.
And that's just, it's such a great title. It really is, rising up the ladder of love. And when you think about rising up, you know, as you're saying, I always think about like a mother that measures her child along a wall or a door to see how far that they've grown.
Yes, yeah.
And there's also something in the fact that love grows. And
yes.
So when I was looking at rising up the ladder of love, I was thinking about that as, you know, it's almost like when you go to Disneyland or you go to an amusement park, you have to be this tall to go on this ride.
<That's>
And then... And as you get taller, you can go on the bigger, greater adventure.
Yes, absolutely. I like that. And you know, I noticed, I just noticed too, as you were talking, that the spaces, you know, in between the rungs, you can see the rung you were just at and the one that's coming, that you're going to. And it's like you're in that the balance spot of, you know, being able to, or rather it's giving you the opportunity to, be in gratitude for the previous experience and be in anticipation and in gratitude for the next that will be coming. But also it gives you that invitation to be present in the moment as well.
Great analogy. That's fantastic.
When you talk about soulmates and twin flames, are they the same thing?
That's a good question. You know, I think that we use terminology to try to explain what we feel, and I think that and what we experience, and it doesn't always do the best. But yet, within words, I feel we have a lot of messages there in the words themselves, and I feel that they are, just because of my own experience, that they're not exactly the same thing. The soulmate is one who is, you have agreed to on a soul level to come in contact with. You've had many experiences incarnating together, and you come in contact with each other to really trigger things to help you rise up the ladder of love, you know. And so you're very deep soul family in that regard. And you know, it's like you know when you meet your soul family members too. You know, you just like, I don't know why, but I have a feeling I know you. You know, this can be females as well as males, so it doesn't have to be like a romantic relationship, soulmates. It can be any type of relationship. And a twin flame is your own soul signature and vibration is the exact same. So it's not exactly, you know, it's not in your soul family like a soulmate, but it is you in another form. No. Some people say, you know, they use the other half, and I don't particularly like to use that because you are really both whole on your own, but your soul is, it's just kind of like we talked about a little earlier, the three aspects of oneness. You are one together, but then you are also one on your own. You have three aspects of your oneness. So it's the same soul vibration and signature. You're so deeply interconnected that almost everyone that encounters their twin flame in a lifetime knows beforehand. They just have this connection with the other piece of themselves, you know, the other symphony note, I guess, the note of your one symphony. That's a good way to say it. Yeah, so it is different in that way. Hopefully I explained that good.
No, that was great because, I mean, as you're saying, you can hear three notes and name that tune, right?
Yes,
you know, so
yep.
We can hear a vibration and all of a sudden know what it is. There's just something inside of us that jumps, and all of a sudden we're like, whatever that song is, we're able to shout it out or start to sing it or know it's about to happen as you're sharing.
Right, right.
And so is there a danger or what one would call a pitfall or a challenge in meeting you? Like, I mean, I'm a handful. I mean, I definitely am, you know, my own unique embodiment of a limited spirit and physical, you know, unlimitedness on this planet. And I always think in a state of emergency, if there was an earthquake, if there was a tsunami, if there was a flood, if there was whatever, the person I would want to be there would be me. Because
yeah.
Physically, I'm so strong. I've got a medicine. You know, I know, I understand spirit and the ethereal worlds, and the person I would want there would be me. And so if I were to meet another me, I mean, does that freak people out like a shriek cat when you meet another you? Or is it warm and fuzzy and like taking a bath where you like marinate in the lusciousness of it? Where does your soul go?
Yeah, no, that's a great question and a great way to phrase it. So thank you for bringing that through like that. honestly, I think both of them. I think that it's the oneness, right? It's you as a complete soul as well as a human being, because we are having a human experience too. So we're on a journey of experiencing our oneness. So encountering, you know, the one that brings us clearly the reflection of our oneness and all aspects of it, those three notes, but then the many layers of those three notes, you know, is really intense. It's intense in beautiful ways, but it's also intense in other ways too, if you haven't loved all the aspects of your what you consider your dark side or your shadow side into the light. You know, I mean, it brings up everything for you to take a look at. It really brings you beyond your mind. That's why I love that quote by Jules Renard. It brings you really into your heart and into your soul. But the mind is a beautiful thing, and it's meant to be in fusion with, in union, you know, with your heart and your soul. But oftentimes we can separate them, and we try to, you know, rationalize and conceptualize and understand through the mind of what's happening when, you know, you meet this other person. And so it really makes you take a look at who you are and who you thought you were, and really let go of who you thought you were to come into who you really are. And with that comes a lot of emotions. There's a lot of sadness people experience because there's many incarnations that we've experienced being separated on a human level, you know, from this other note of ours, of our oneness, you know. And so there's a lot of sadness, and we have to let go of the beliefs and the thoughts and patterns that all of that brings up. So it's a very layered process. It's many people say it's bittersweet because of that, because it really brings you into the all of it, I guess, the all that is, right, in your own experience and in who you are. But it really, what it does is, if we go back to rising up the ladder of love, it's giving you an opportunity to let go of anything that's really not love, but we think it is. You know, it's like the illusion of what love is, so that we can really let all of those things go and really come into a deeper gratitude and a deeper understanding of what love is. So it's like, you know, you've probably had, just as a little example, maybe an argument or disagreement with someone, and then you might have been able to see, oh, you know, I'm really seeing myself here and something that, you know, can bring me into deeper love with who I am. And then if you allow that, you have this deep gratitude that comes and an understanding of who you are in a deeper sense. And it's like, wow, I'm so thankful to this other person to give me this of myself. And you can start even feeling this love rise in you, and for yourself and for this other person that's given you this love. And then you just want to extend that love to everyone else. And that's really what this is about. It's about allowing that process and letting it bring you into deeper love with you, your beloved, and being love and being loved to everyone else.
That's fantastic. And so do you ever have somebody that comes to you, and so they've met their twin flame, and then there's this great fear that maybe it's not true or maybe it's not real?
Yeah, I think that's a common question, actually, that people say. Most people say to me, good, I'm glad I'm sharing with you so I feel I'm not crazy. because this connection is so much beyond form, you know, it's beyond our bodies. Many people have dreams, you know, with this person before meeting and after meeting, and it's almost like you can also feel their feelings, you can hear their thoughts, and so this usually goes beyond our normal perception. Oh, actually, I don't even think there's any such thing as normal. That's why I usually put in quotes. But it goes beyond our normal experience or, you know, thoughts and perceptions of what love and relationship is. And oftentimes, also, people meet in interesting circumstances where they're in relationship with a soulmate. And so there's a lot of dynamics that shift as well. And it really brings us into looking at how love comes into our lives and how can we be love in all situations. So it really brings us beyond the boxes of love. Did I answer your question? I'm not sure if I fully answered.
Perfectly. Yes, absolutely. And so this is such a specialized field. And as an intuitive reader and healer and guide and coach, how did you know that you had this gift of being able to connect people to the twin flame and their soulmates and their light?
Honestly, through my own journey, I never even thought of this. I mean, I my whole life changed when I encountered in the human form my twin flame. I was just, I guess what you consider having a normal life. I had gone to school. I had gotten my bachelor's in English. I loved writing and words ever since I was younger. And I was going for my master's at the time in English, and I was working a full-time job and a part-time job. I was a loan officer, which was completely different than what I do now. And I always loved interacting with people and connecting with people.
Wait, I need to stop you for just a second. I thought you said, I was a loan officer, like you were talking to a cop. And then my brain went, no, she was a loan officer, like that you did loans. But the first thing I saw was that you were alone.
That's great. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it funny? The human language is so interesting.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were a loan officer.
Great. You didn't apologize. That was perfect. I love it. I do those things, too, when I see words. They're great like that. Well, I guess you could say that's kind of how it was, right? It was in that type of environment. It was completely different. And, I started to, my life started changing. Like, there were shifts going on at work. And I've always been connected to the angels ever since I was younger. I've always been attracted to angel pictures, figurines, things like that. I had angel cards, and I had done readings for myself, and then I started doing them for other people, just for friends. And I always felt presence around me, but I started to hear, almost like I'm talking to you right now, I started to hear them communicating with me. This started shifting for me at this time before this happened. And I got just very clear guidance. And then I encountered him, and it was like, oh my gosh, it was instant light bulb that the person that I've been feeling ever since I was younger is this person. And my whole life changed from that point. It was like, what am I doing getting my master's for English? I'm not going to teach English. So it was like I started seeing differently. My vision changed. And then my whole life changed. And what I felt I needed to do just completely shifted for me. And I think it's which I've been finding, too, with everyone I've been talking to and sharing with, is that this is a step-by-step process. It's like when you encounter this person, it's like your vision changes, your whole being starts changing, and how you see life starts changing, but it's not a like instant light bulb where you turn the light on and then you're just changed. It is a step-by-step process, and you constantly keep learning about how to bring who you are into the world, you know, what you're meant to do step-by-step. And even now, my work is shifting more, and this book is like going to be a completely different than the first one, as I'm starting to write it here now. So it's a constant, I think, like the river, like the ocean. You know, you're in the ocean all the time. So you're never separated from love. You're always the love you are. But then you have waves and how you bring those waves to shore, whether it's like just a little one, a medium one, a big one, and then there's a smoothness where you're calm. It's like you're constantly in movement and in expression and creation. So it's quite a journey, but a beautiful one.
I was just going to say that it was such a beautiful way to say it and to state it and to slate it. But imagine being in an ocean and bringing those waves to shore and the ripples and, you know, some of these large, it's just, you can feel that. You can see that and that ebb and that flow and that rise and the fall and the stillness and the tremors underneath and all the life that's happening. You know,
right.
Below.
Right, and there's never a disconnection. All the waves, all the ocean is always connected, even to the shore.
So I love this. Now, you do parties. This is fun for me. So, because I love parties. I grew up in this household with these two parents. I told you that we're just so very much in love. But my mom also celebrates everything. If she saw on the calendar it was a Hawaiian holiday, a Tahitian holiday, our house would be decorated. We would be celebrating that day. We'd be dancing around the floor for, you know, some Greek holiday. Whatever it is, we celebrated. And my mom's birthday is January 1st, and the first of every month she has month of birthdays or whatever. She celebrates, you know, her birthday every month. And so I grew up in celebration of life.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And so I saw that you do these love parties, intuitive reading parties, and people are always looking for a reason.
season an opportunity to get together. I mean, we always want to connect with our friends. We always want to spend more time with the people we care about and love or connect to. And I think that this is such a perfect way to be able to bring people together to enjoy an evening, a day, an afternoon, you know, a beautiful weekend, you know, a day in the sunshine, whatever it is, and to have you come over and actually do a party that's an intuitive reading party. So tell me about that, because I'm loving this idea.
Yes, I just got this idea for this, actually. You know, I've been doing readings for a while now, since actually on my website since 2008. So I've been doing them for a while. But I just recently was getting, I guess we could say, the intuitive hit, you should do parties. And I was like, okay, fine, so I'll add that, you know. So I just started this this new venue, you know, to bring me into creation here, expression, and help people. And I love the same thing. Like I was saying, I've always done that. I've always connected with people and brought people together. So it's definitely part of my soul song. And so I do it like at least 3 hours for a party, and each person gets 20 minutes, so it's like that's about like I think 3 people in an hour, and I also like to just kind of share together when we're all together too, in the same room, and just share, you know, our experiences and who we are, and just really bring people together, you know, in an intimate way, but a fun way as well. And like you said with the glass too, you know, of really allowing the transparency, you know. I think sometimes when we get together with people, we can still have walls, and I feel that what I intend to do with these parties is to really, and even like after someone has a reading, it's almost like their wall comes down, you know, because they just now feel like they're understood on other levels, you know, and they don't need to have any armor up or any masks on, and I like that. I like how readings do that for people, and it's just like there's an openness that wasn't there before, or a deeper layer of openness, and so I'm excited about them. I love bringing people together and connecting with people, and like you said, it's a great way to really bring family, friends together and share in a different way.
I think it's tremendous. I'm so excited, and you know, I'm going to absolutely have you come to a party for me, and I want to set you out forth and to many
absolutely,
other.
Absolutely, I would love to. And I think it's great for like all types of events, and I think you were mentioning about weddings too, you know, and I think that's such a great thing, because we always have what's the tradition. I think sending the flower and the next person picking up the flower is the one that gets married. So, you know, like those types of things, I think is a great experience for people that are, you know, about to get married, or as well as the people that are going to come and celebrate that. And all types of life transitions is always good.
It's so funny. I was at a wedding just a couple weeks ago, and they threw the bouquet, and the flower girl caught it. She was maybe 6. And that's supposed to be the next person getting married. And you can see all these women, the little faces were all like, oh, no. We have to wait for her to get married first. it was a great cartoon of all these women's faces. But
right, I can imagine.
But I do think it would be a wonderful wedding gift to be able to give somebody a reading. And
yeah.
I think it's, you know, a fabulous idea. And it's also a great gift for the bride to give to her
right.
maid of honor and bridesmaids. So
right.
they can
absolutely.
I think it's a beautiful gift to be able to pass on, and I'd love to be able to post that and offer that, you know, to our audience, because I think it's so special and truly unique gift, and something that really can help the heart and healing.
Yes,
and something that's in tune with and aligned with the life that you want to create for yourself, which is a happily ever after that you would want to pass that baton on to others
right.
as well. So,
yeah, and I noticed that, you know, often when I do readings, they it's open for whatever wants to come through, and I always open the energy to receive whatever is for the person's highest good that they're ready to receive at that moment, and it really does come through in such a loving and embracing way, and it's not just in, you know, relationships. I mean, I I work with that, but I really feel that we have a relationship with everything, you know, and first and foremost with ourselves, that we extend out to all areas of our life. And so oftentimes in readings, so much comes through, you know, in all areas of someone's life. And it's just, it's a beautiful embrace. That's really what it feels like.
Just fantastic. And then I see on your website, you offer different types of readings. You have a twin flame beloved session. What a beautiful thing to do. You have dream guidance readings, intuitive readings. And so what is the difference? And when somebody calls, do they know what to ask for? Or do you just instinctually say, this is the kind of reading I like to do for you because I think this is where you're at right now?
Yeah, it really depends on each person. And I do have someone that, actually someone recently that, you know, sent me a message and said, I had this dream, and she started sharing the dream. She's like, I'm not sure if I should have a dream guidance reading or one of your intuitive readings. And I was just feeling a lot coming through for her dream, but I also felt there was more going to come through. So in that regard, it felt like she needed an intuitive reading. But a dream guidance reading is it's just done by email, whereas the other reading is done by a phone. And what a dream guidance reading is, but it can be also by a phone, the dream guidance reading. And it's oftentimes we do leave our bodies and communicate with each other in dreams, you know, especially when we're sleeping because we're not confined to our form, you know. And so we often visit each other. We get messages from those that have passed on. I have from my father, and we connect with our beloveds that way because we have such a connection that goes beyond any limitation, including our human body. So a lot of times a dream guidance reading is to bring through what messages are coming through, particularly in dreams that someone's having. The intuitive readings are more for whatever wants to come through in all areas of your life to come through. And how I do them is I like to just open up the energy in the field and let what wants to come through before questions are presented. Because oftentimes what starts to come through is what the person wanted answered anyway. that happens almost all the time. And the Beloved Sessions, Twin Flame Beloved Sessions, is really for those that have encountered their either soulmate or twin flame and are going through the experience. And I like, as what I said, one thing I posted on my main site, main homepage, is Twin Flames Revealed, the True Love Story. And that really is talking about the whole experience of this connection bringing you into who you are so that you remember that. And so the sessions are really to go and delve into that, the experience of what's coming up, what patterns, what beliefs, what things are blocking you from getting and receiving the gifts of what this relationship and this love is so that you can be that in the world. So it's done like a conversation, the sessions. It's really very intimate and close.
And do you also
and I actually offer people to get packages.
Those that are calling in their love, those that are looking for that twin flame or that soulmate and are hoping to manifest that or sound the bell from the lighthouse or the church bell that says I'm here and now is the time. And do you work with those as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because if you hear the call, like I knew that, you know, I was going to meet someday this person before we met. And so I already had that feeling and that knowing. So oftentimes people have to start having dreams as well before that happens and are just feeling like they, like you said, like want to open up that, the energy to bring that through. Yes, and so we also share on that as well. There's so many dynamics. There's so many ways to bring this through in the life experience. So, yes, I also work with people who are feeling that before meeting and wanting to welcome that into their lives.
That's great. And now, do you work by phone or by Skype? And do you work internationally? Because we have people listening to the show that are in Malta and South Africa and France and Germany and Switzerland.
Oh, yes.
And I missed your country. I'm sorry. I know you're all out there. And so.
No, yeah, absolutely. I do them by phone. I've done some people wanted it done by, like, chatting, like, email as well. Skype I have as well. I've done all around the world too myself. Like I've had people from Ireland, Afghanistan too. You know, like all over the world. I've encountered people, and I love that. I love when someone comes and says, "Oh, I'm in Australia," and it's like, "Oh, this is great." It's great to connect it with other people in other countries. So, absolutely.
That's fantastic. So, how does somebody find you and book a session with you?
The best way is at my website. It's risinguptheladderoflove.com, and there's a contact section on there that people can send me an email right from the website, and that would be the best way. And then we can make arrangements for what works. The packages I like to customize around what people need. You know, I always feel that if they're going to go the session route, that a package is good because one time you're really just sharing your story, and I intend to bring people away from the story but into the love, and then bring the story back upon the love. That's really what this is about. So it takes more than an hour to really move through everything. So I have customized packages, which are always good to talk about individually with people.
Perfect. And then when you talk about the dream guidance, what happens when someone has a nightmare? Is a nightmare also a guidance tool? And if somebody calls you and says, "Oh my gosh, I woke up and I was panicked, or I was hurt, or I was frightened, or I've never felt so lonely or so lost or so whatever," and then they share their dream with you, or they send you, they email you their dream, is that also those messages trying to come through to us, that you're talking about this gentle love from the other side?
Yes, absolutely. I feel that when stuff like that comes through, I've never experienced anything in dreams myself or with those that have come to me that have really been about messages that are really nightmares. I mean, the nightmare gets our attention, you know, and the feelings that it brings about, it gets our attention. And I think that's really what it's about. It's about getting our attention to look at something. So I feel it's really bringing that emotion up and getting that attention to look at what the gift is and what the message is within it. Oftentimes when we experience in a dream someone dying, it really means there's a transition in someone's life, and the other details of the dream often bring that up. And if it does come through that there is a message about, you know, someone dying, and that being a literal message, then there's always love with it. It's never just in that vibration. It's always in wholeness. That's what I found when I give readings, and I receive the insight from that, from the divine, to give to someone. It's always in wholeness, just like we were talking about, you know, encountering your twin flame and loving the shadow or the dark parts of you into the light. What that really is realizing that those shadow sides are nothing to be afraid of. They're actually part of the oneness that you are. So it's the same thing, I think, with nightmares.
Great answer, and I'm sure people are very relieved to hear that. People are now dancing around their living rooms or their bedrooms or their kitchen or whatever they're listening to the show. I'm very excited and very elated. And then I wanted to ask you, I saw it said somewhere on your work that why we are here, we are incarnated on this earth for allowing everyone to feel at peace on their own love beams. I love that. So tell me about feeling at peace on your own love beam, because I think that is such a wonderful way to even come towards the close of our show, because just the idea of a love beam and a light and what that just initiates inside and sparks inside of being, just even to say it or think it or feel it. Can you share?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, like the course that I'm working on now, Ignite the Light of the Beloved, is really your unique vibration of the love that you are. And as you uncover and discover that and allow yourself to be that love and to be loved by, you know, all that you come in contact with and all of your experiences, really, because, you know, when we're in an experience and we look at it and shift it, rather than it being a challenge or something that happened bad to us, we can see the gifts in that, and therefore we're allowing that experience to love us, to bring us back to love. And I feel that when people allow that and they ignite the light of their beloved energy, which is the it is God, actually, being love and being loved is that constant flow of love in and out. And so they become a light in the world, and therefore they are a love beam, you know. And that's how I feel all things that are in resonance with their specific vibration of love is attracted to them, including their twin flame, including their partner, including the job they want, including anything that, you know, is in alignment with their vibration, because they're shining it and they're allowing that light to be seen and come outward and feeling it inward. So it's beautiful. I just see a vision of, I love Neil Donald Walsh's The Little Soul in the Sun book, which I'd recommend. It's a children's book and it's an amazing book for adults. Beautiful messages in there. There's an image in there where you see these lights, these humans in human form, all with a light, and yet you see all of their lights together. And I really feel that's what we're meant to do here. We're meant to ignite the light of our unique soul song and to sing that in the world. And yet it is in harmony and in symphony with others, as we allow that to come out and be heard.
Boy, that's luscious. Let's all breathe. I feel like we all have helium balloons. We have this entire audience floating right now.
That's good. That's what it's about, right?
It's truly exciting. That's great. And then you also are creating a workshop.
Right. I am going to be doing
a course.
The online course. Yep. And I actually am going to be doing some speaking as well. I'm just putting some of those things together, too, to start speaking at different places and so forth. So that's beginning, too. So a lot more in the spotlight that's coming out with various things that are, I guess I could say, being downloaded into me so that I can then bring it into formation.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. And then I have to ask, so are you still in love?
Oh, always. It just grows deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like every single time I see myself reflected and it's a piece that I haven't felt I fully loved, I was just telling someone the other day, it's like being pregnant, you know. It's like you have pains, birth pains, right? Or rebirth pains, maybe that's a good way to say it in this regard. And it's a journey to bring all of those pieces of you when something comes up reflected from your beloved, you know, into a deeper love. But then it just, I find all the time that because I allow the process, even though it can be uncomfortable sometimes, it just makes me feel so much more love for who I am and for being in this earth, you know, and having this experience. And then for him to bring me deeper into who I am. And then I just want to create it and share it with people in the world, which is what's happening with this book and, you know, the speaking and the course and everything that's happening. It's like my process is going into creation for others, and it's beautiful.
And what was it like for him? When you met?
When what?
When you connected. What was it like for him? Does he ever share?
Oh, you know. Yeah, you know, that's a good question. Yeah, honestly, it was like before I expressed anything fully, it was like I was hearing myself. it was like I was hearing myself speak to him through his words. So, it's like a knowing, like a knowing, as he said, like a knowing of the soul beyond understanding. Just like no other connection can go to the depths of how it feels before we even really knew each other on the human level or the mind, you know, level to understand what we were experiencing. Was just like I know you beyond any way of knowing that I know you, that I do. And I knew, you know, all the pieces of who he was, more than maybe his mom, you know. It's an interesting, it's kind of hard sometimes to put it into words of how so profound it is. But that's really what it feels like. It's just like a deep knowing of the soul that, and it's like also looking in the mirror at the same time. So you're not only knowing that you know this other person so deeply, but now you're seeing the fullness of yourself and experiencing it too. It's like looking in the mirror.
That's great. I remember once, a very long time ago, someone told me a story about a hummingbird that was born in a blue jay's nest. And the hummingbird would fly up and down and backwards and forwards and up and down and backwards and forward. And the mama blue jay would say, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't show people that if I were you, that you can do that. And it was so squelched inside. And that one day, the hummingbird met another hummingbird. And the very first thing it said was, did you have a blue jay mother? I never forgot that story. Because when you talk about soulmates and you're saying, well, this, you know, I knew him even better than his own mother. It's sort of that, recognizing this infinite energy and somebody's power and magical gifts that they've not been able to reveal or show to anybody else until you. So
I know, and it's like you don't even need to do anything to reveal it. You know, it's like you are. You know, you like I think so often is the I am, right? You just are, and just by being, you're being seen. It's like, it's really like being transparent. You know, you can't hide anything because you are one. And so, as I was saying, like looking in the mirror, it's like when you're looking in the mirror yourself, you can't not see you. You know, you're there, and that's how it's like. You know, it's like there's nothing that needs to be even said or experienced, but there's just this, I see you, I completely see you.
Well, I see you, Gabriella Harbell, and I thank you so much for your magical gifts and your love and your synergy and your openness and the connection to space and to the infinite and the beyond and love and lust and passion and all the things that you bring to this world. And for all those that are listening, I know that you were excited, you were thrilled, you were elated, you were overjoyed that Gabriella was with us today. You can find her on risingupthelladderoflove.com, risingupthelladderoflove.com.
What an incredible show, Gabriella Hartwell, one of my favorite shows of Soulmate and Twin Flame Mastery. Remember to find us now live on OM Times Radio on Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us live and on Times. And here we will continue to play the incredible replays over the past 2 years and amazing encore performances. And as of July at this time, we will be starting the new Green Room, which is theater reviews, film reviews, and more and more and more coming your way. So we look forward to seeing you on Times, on Hourglass Bride and Bridal Talk Radio this Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We look forward to seeing you there. And from Gabriella Hartwell and myself, wishing you the happily ever after life. May all your wishes and dreams come true.